The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
All right, so Friday night we had our Grazie Awards over at the Richland County Public Library. Who went to the Grazie Awards? If you guys went to the Grazie Awards, great time. It was such a blast, goofy and fun. So somebody had asked me, though, they're like, how does somebody get invited to the Grazies? Because they said, you know, I didn't get invited to the Grazies. And so I said, well, did you serve at Sand Hills Community Church in this past year, in 2018? And they said, well, no, I didn't actually serve. And I'm like, well, that's why you didn't actually get invited. You have to serve to get invited to the Grazie Awards. And so that's what we do. It's a goofy time. But I do love it because I know there's a number of people, and a lot of you sitting here, because we have like almost 400, maybe almost 500 by now, volunteers at the church. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been around church. We always need more. We always need more people involved. And the idea is this, is that I know God has given me something. All of us would say that. God has given me something, gift, skill, talent, capacity. And I want to use that in the church. I want to use it to bless his kingdom because I want to be in on what God is doing in this world. And so we offer these gifts to the Lord as an act of love. But the ironic thing is that God is the one who gave us those things to begin with, the gift and talents and skills and capacity and all that. He gave us that, and then we're just giving back a portion, like as we're doing our offering right now, like the offering. The offering is a great reminder that we're just giving back to the Lord a portion of what he's given to us. It's not like, you know, we're giving this to the Lord and the Lord's like, oh, you're so awesome. You know, it's like, no, we're giving it to God because he's so awesome. That's what we're doing. And we're just a reminder of that. And so that's how we use our gifts and skills as well. Now, we've been studying up to this point the book of Judges. Now, we are going to take a one-week break. We'll go back to Judges next week. But we've been studying Judges up to this point, and we're at the point of Samson right now. And Samson is very interesting to learn about, but the guy's a bit of a train wreck, right? And so here's the thing. He has a gift from the Spirit. The Spirit has given him a gift, and his gift is a supernatural strength. When the Spirit comes upon him, he gets super strong, like literally supernaturally strong. But when he gets this strength, he uses it for himself. So he gets this gift of the Spirit, and he is of such bad character, desires so little to walk with God and do the will of God that he uses the gift of the Spirit of God for his own means. Now, God can still use this. In fact, that's what we've seen in the book of Judges, that God still uses it for his glory, which means whether you intend to do harm or you intend to do good, either one God can use. Now, it's better for all of us if you would intend to do good and follow the will of the Lord, but even if you intend otherwise, God can still use you for his purposes, but it's going to turn out to be a real painful journey for Samson. There is a difference in the Old Testament gifting and the New Testament gifting and how the Spirit worked. We're in a New Testament type of gifting now, and the New Testament gifting is this, that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you submit to the Lord and you follow him and he becomes, you know, Lord of your life, in charge of your life, there is something he does in you through the work of his Spirit where he takes what he's put inside you and he uses it for his glory. Right, so this is what we call our spiritual gifts. And in fact, that's our theme today. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. You can't be in the church too long at all before you start hearing reference to these kinds of things. Now, everybody is born in this world with certain capacities, certain skills, certain talents, certain giftings. But there is something that the Spirit of God does when you give your life to Jesus where he enhances these, he brings these to light, and he does something dynamic that he wants to use for his church and for his glory. And so this is why I would call these not just spiritual gifts, I would call these gifts of purpose. Gifts of purpose. They are given to you on purpose for a purpose. Let me give you an illustration. Let me make something up. Let's imagine that we take a mission trip. And we go on a mission trip. We go to a very poor country. We're going to spend a week there. And when we get there, we're going door to door. And we're sharing our faith in people's homes. We're talking to them about their need for Jesus. And God is blessing that. But we notice something as we go around the homes. We notice that all of the plumbing in the homes is bad. It all needs attention. It all needs work. Let's imagine we have with us on this trip a plumber. And so the plumber's going around with us. We're sharing the gospel. And as he goes to these homes, he says, yeah, these are really simple fixes. I mean, if somebody just had any skill at all and a couple of the right tools, they could go through and fix all these plumbing issues that are going on in these homes. And so while we're there, we connect with a guy who's kind of handy with his hands. He doesn't know a lot about plumbing, but he's kind of handy. And our plumber says this. He says, listen, I know we've come down here to share the gospel all week, but I have an idea. What if you guys go door to door and you share the gospel? Why don't I take this handyman and why don't I spend the week all day working with him, teaching him about plumbing? And that way, when we leave, we'll have somebody that has a practical skill that they can actually use to bless their community. So we say, hey, that's a great idea. He spends all week with the guy, trains him up. And before we leave as a church, as a gift, we buy him a big old bag of plumbing tools. And we leave him there. So we leave, and we come back a year later. And when we come back a year later, we go to that neighborhood, and we start going around door to door, and we realize something. Every house is exactly the same. What happened? Where's this guy? So we go to find the guy, but here's what we find out. He doesn't live there anymore. See, he started a plumbing business, started to make some money, moved out of the community, and didn't do anything. So we go track this guy down, and we're like, hey, what happened? And he says, well, you know, you gave me these skills, you gave me these tools, and I started a business, now I've started making some money. And we're like, yeah, but that's not why we gave you the skill. It's not why we gave you the tools. We did that so that you would make a difference in your community, not that you would just use it all for yourself and your own advancement. That's great capitalism. It's very poor stewardship. So what is the problem here? So here's the idea when it comes to spiritual gifts. If we are not careful, we become that plumber. That is, God has given us gifts, skills, abilities, talents, and we use them for ourselves. And we feel better about it, or we do good business with it, or we figure out how to make some money with it, or whatever it is, but it's really no different than Samson, who received a gift of God but used it all for his own glory. So it should be that if I ask you right now, how do you use what God has given you for the extension of his kingdom, it should be that everybody would say, oh, I can tell you ways that I'm doing that right now. But if you're sitting there going, I don't really know how I do that, you may be that guy. You may be that gal. So here's the great thing about the Christian life. There's always grace for tomorrow. And so let's just talk about, what does God want me to do from here? The gifts that God has given us through the Spirit are always meant for external utilization, not internal gratification. So the gifts that God gives us are meant for external utilization, not internal gratification. That is, he gives us gifts, skills, talents, abilities, so that we can use them for others, not just for ourselves, to make us feel good about ourselves. Hopefully this will make sense as we go forward. Last year, we talked through 1 Corinthians. I want to take you back to 1 Corinthians this morning. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a very common place to go when you talk about spiritual gifts. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to go ahead and just start in verse 1, and we'll begin to unpack some of this as we go forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to a young church who's trying to figure things out, and he pauses and he begins to unpack this idea of spiritual gifts. So he says, now listen, we got to walk through this because I don't want you to be uninformed about this. I want you to understand how this works. Now, we're going to skip down a bit. We're going to go to verse 4 now. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, we're going to unpack what's intended probably through these here in just a second. I do want to point out at least a Trinitarian reference, which I find interesting in the midst of this, that Paul pauses and acknowledges the Spirit, he acknowledges our Lord Jesus, and then he acknowledges God. And here's what he's saying is that there are various reflections of how this works out. So there are varieties of service, activities, and varieties of gifts, but they're all coming from one location. All right, now that's going to be important. Well, I'm going to tell you why that's important here in just a second. We're going to hold off on that. But the same is this. One source provides all these things. And that one source is the Lord himself. Then we get to verse 7. So verse 7, actually, there's two verses in chapter 12 that I love them. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And I also love verse 11. Verses 7 and 11. Very convenient. There's some, just throwing that in there to see if anybody's awake this morning. All right. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, let's walk through that. To each. Okay, so every single person who says, I love Jesus, has a spiritual gift. There's something God has done. He's put in you. He has manifested in you. He has blessed in you. Some sort of skill, talent, gift, ability, capacity, whatever it is that he is doing, everybody has it. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So now I'm understanding something about this thing. This thing that has been given to me is not for me. It is for other people. Which means then that if you do not serve, now understand, when we think of the Christian life, it is bigger than just this event here that happens in this building. But there's some aspect in which we're all connected to the kingdom of God. So the reason I have some of the gifts, skills, abilities, talents, all that kind of stuff that I have, there's some aspect of that where I should be using that to further the kingdom of God. And so that's what we need to come back and think about. Because if you're a good American pretends like they don't need much from other people, right? I mean, we're self-sufficient, right? I know stuff. I have stuff. I got it going on. This is our thought. I feel like I don't need a lot of people. And so if we're not careful, that transfers to the church. So that church becomes just an event. It's just something you attend. It's like a restaurant that you go to. And you just go shop or eat or whatever. And then you just go home. And then if we were to ask you at the end of the day, church would be just about you. But here's the thing. If you just come and go home, you're not fulfilling your spiritual purpose, and then we are missing out. That is, there is something that you're meant to contribute, that if you don't contribute it, other people are missing out on it. I love what Pastor Rick Warren said. So Pastor Rick Warren made this comment. Your spiritual gifts were not given for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others, just as other people were given gifts for your benefit. So it's the two-way street. It's like, I come here because I want to be involved in the work of God. And again, not just the event, but I'm part of God's church because I want to be a part of what's going on here, and I'm supposed to share my gifts so that some can benefit, but others have to share their gifts so that I can benefit. So there's this reciprocal relationship that we have going on. It's a family relationship where we each contribute to how the family operates. It reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So now here's what I love. You just saw now the purpose of spiritual gifts. Now if I were to ask you, what is the purpose of your spiritual gift? You might tend to think of 1 Corinthians 12:7. Like, I've been given a gift for the common good, that the purpose of my gift is to serve others. That is not correct. The purpose of your spiritual gift is in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's why you have a gift. So here's what we're seeing then. When God puts something in us, which he has put in all of us, and he uses something in us, and we serve each other, then God is glorified and we have fulfilled our purpose. It is not that when I do things for other people in the kingdom of God, I have fulfilled my purpose. No. The purpose is the glory of God. So when I use my gifts, skills, abilities, talents, whatever, to work in the kingdom of God and other people are blessed by it, that brings God glory. I'll say it this way. So let's imagine that my kids, my daughter's out of town. She comes back, let's say, from college, and they're going out for an evening with some friends. And so my son and daughter are about to leave the house, and before they leave, I see my daughter, and I say, oh, honey, here, let me give you some money. Here's $50. Make sure you get your brother dinner and you guys, have fun tonight with your friends. We'll see you later. So they leave and then they come back. And when they come back, I say, hey, well, how was your evening together? And my daughter says, I had an excellent meal this evening. And then my son turns and goes, you got to eat? So what's the breakdown there? The gift was intended for both of them, but just one of them used it. Now see, now dad is not glorified. Daddy's frustrated because I had a purpose here. Like I did this, so that, and then she just consumed it all for herself and didn't share. So then the whole thing breaks down. It's a breakdown between those two because now they have a problem. The one didn't share, and so the other didn't benefit, and the one who needed didn't receive anything. But then the dad who gave in the first place, he's frustrated because the whole thing broke down. So this is why, I think, it's a picture of why we need to make sure that we're investing what God has given to us to offer real, legitimate investment in the lives of the people around us so that they receive and God is blessed. That's how this works out. We're working for the glory of God. Now, I also want to point out a distinction there. So that one of the distinctions in 1 Peter 4:10 was this, that those who speak is as though they speak the oracles of God. Now, this is something I would refer to as public gifts. All right, so there's kind of two different delineations there. The one who speaks the oracles of God and the other who serves as though they serve by the strength that God supplies. And so it's a very simple, and I'm not sure how much Peter was putting this into categories, but the idea of two key categories as I think of it. You have public gifts and you have serving gifts. For me, a public gift is anything that's up in front of people. So it could be speaking, it could be singing, it could be some sort of art that you perform or do. But it's something where you are seen, and it contributes to people in some sort of dynamic in public way. So now there's a danger in that, right? I mean, the danger in that is that you begin to get really full of yourself. And so people who have a public gift need to embrace humility. Years ago, I had a mentor of mine, and he's still a good friend of mine, Dr. Roy King. And Roy was speaking into my life a lot, and we were talking about this idea of public gifts, especially those who are in front of people and who share or speak or teach or whatever it would be. And we were talking about, you know, like when you ask them their dreams for what God would do for them, and everybody wants to, you know, be big and famous and all this. And so Roy said this to me. He said, you know, Jeff, everybody wants to be big and famous for God, but very few people want to be small and faithful. He said, here's my challenge to you. Choose to be small and faithful. Just however God does what he does, just let him do that. But just keep your eyes on the Lord. I'll tell you a way that it can work out. So let's just say you have a singing gift. You know, like God has given you a voice, and you want to use it to glorify the Lord. And so you come to the church, and you say, hey, listen, I have a gift God's given me. I have a voice. I'd love to use it for the Lord. So like if we hand you the microphone, and you come out on a Sunday morning, we put a spotlight on you, and you're like, you're singing out here. You're like, yes, I'm using my gift. I say, okay, great. But we also want you to serve like on this row back here. We want you to be like a support singer. Would you be willing to do that? Oh, I don't know, but God's given me a... Like, I have a good voice, you know? That's for other people to be back there. Or what if we said this, like, oh, no, actually, I don't even want you there. You know, we really need somebody back in the back to work with the children. We need somebody to come sing. Would you go sing in front of children? You know, God's giving me a... I don't want to use it for that. It's like a waste of my gift. So here's what we find out. Sometimes the only reason you want to use your gift is for your own glorification. See, our gifts are meant for God's glory, not ours. So this is how we know kind of how we're working through this. Now, listen, I get it. I totally get it. I get it. Like, if somebody asked me to prepare a sermon, Jeff, would you come preach at our church? God's put something in you. We want to hear it. Would you come speak to us? I'd be, oh, that'd be awesome. So in the course of things, oh, by the way, I need to tell you this. We only have about 10 people that come to our church. Yeah, I don't know if that weekend's going to work for me. I got a conflict. So what if he just said, well, we have about 10,000 people that come to our church. I'd be like, yeah, that's why God's called me. I'm in. Let's do this thing. And so here's the thing. We've all got to wrestle with this. So the warning is, if you have a public gift, you have to retain humility. And here's what I found about the Lord in my own life. If you don't retain humility, God will reintroduce you to it, right? So it's better to just own it. So that's one thing. Now let's do the other side. So let's do serving gifts. So the serving people are also reminded they serve according to the strength that God supplies, which means God's in that too, right? It's not like there's no ranking here, like one is better, one is worse. It is the same thing. The problem with the serving gifts is they feel like what I call just gifts. And so this is how it works out. Hey, do you serve at your church? I do. What do you do? I just work in the kitchen. I just serve in the nursery. I just come clean during the week. I just do administration. I just do some office stuff. The idea, and here's what we're saying. What I do is not important. What I do is not important. Really? Do you think God views it that way? That this thing he's asked you to do is just, it's unimportant. I want to give the important stuff to people I really like. But you, you know, like, no, it doesn't work that way. That we all have to understand that the gifts we use are gifts to God's glory. And here's another thing. When I think about this, you know, you might think about like a marriage situation. We're going to talk about how this works out a little bit. So in marriage, you remember when you, for those that aren't married, I'll just, no shade here. It's all good. You can be single to the glory of God. It's all great. But I am married. So when I started dating my wife, you know, she was just, oh, she's just awesome. Everything about her is awesome. Now, she's still awesome. It's just, you feel different after 25 years. But we're, so that probably came out poorly. She's not in this one, right? She'll be next service. All right, so here's how this works. So you're so attracted to the other person. Oh, gosh. How do I say it? This guy was telling me one time that when he was dating his wife, he was so you're so attracted to each other. But here's what you're really attracted to. What you're really attracted to is, if we broke it out, is our ways that they're different from you. And so, because God has designed marriage this way, that he takes two people with very different things and they fill each other's gaps. So that is that your strengths complement their weaknesses and their strengths complement your weaknesses. So that when you come together, I mean, you fit together and you make up for all the lack. But here's the problem. After a while, you realize that those differences create discord because you don't think the same way about things. You don't approach life the same way together. In fact, it's the same thing that leads to divorce. People say, like, well, we just don't connect anymore. And here's my thing. You never connected. You never did. You just were dealing with it because it was all new and fresh, but God had always meant it to work this way. But then you want to pull back and you want to work this way. You want to make sure that we want to think the same, do the same. All that is not what marriage is. Marriage is complementary. Okay, so here's the thing. That's the church as well. the church is, you bring these people together and we're all different. And what we want is, I want everybody to think like I do, value what I do, do what I do. But that's not how it's meant to work. What's meant to work is you have a passion, gift, skill, ability, focus in the kingdom of God that is different from you, different from you, different from me. And that when we come together, all these things fit together and you have one whole church working together. And churches can get off track when either people don't participate or they don't want to apply their gifts in a way that integrate with others and they just want to be about one thing. And that's not the church. The church is meant to be this integrated body where we come together for the glory of God, and that's what he does. It's a beautiful thing. So we have what I would call a variety of gifts that are being expressed in the church. Now, that Paul unpacks that further on in 1 Corinthians. Go down to verse 8. So now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. We'll go down to verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, if you've noticed one theme throughout just these first few verses of chapter 12, it is this reference to everything going back to one source, which means then, again, there's no person who is gifted in such a way that in their gifting, God shows he favors them more. Or somebody who has my nickname, the just gift, somebody who has a just gift as though that is a lesser thing. It is not. When God gives out his gifts, there's one source and he loves his kids all the same. And he just gives it so that we'll all work out, and somebody's got to do a little bit of everything. And so we end up with this display of gifts. And there's a whole bunch of them listed. The idea of wisdom or knowledge or faith or healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation. All these things that work themselves out in the church, we've got to have a representation of all of them. And the only way we have that representation is if you're at the table. Even if you're sitting there saying, well, I don't know what God's given me. I don't know what I have. But okay. Well, let's go on that journey together. Let's figure out how God has wired you so that we can make sure you too are bringing glory to God. I mean, that verse 11 down there at the bottom, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And what that means is that we never are supposed to compare. You know, you don't compare yourself to other people. Like I see them play guitar. I wish I could play guitar like that. Well, listen, it may not be your gift. It might be a skill you could learn if you applied yourself to it. But here's the thing, don't envy. That's not a problem. What has God done in you? What has he done in you? Like, well, I don't know, maybe he's done that. Well, let's unpack that together, but don't look lesser. There's nothing lesser about that, and there's nothing greater about a public gift. It's just all of us integrating together to do one job he's called us to do. And this is why I like where Paul goes with this next, and he begins to compare the gifts of the Spirit given to his people as the body of Christ. All right, this is the body. I love this body imagery. Go to verse 15. Or actually, let's go start 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, well, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts and yet one body. And so the thought here is that there are parts of the body that just, they feel like they don't belong. In fact, they want to go AWOL. They just want to take off. Like, nobody cares about me. I'm out. You know, you can't. Here's the thing. When you see somebody on the street, you meet somebody for the first time. You see their face. You hear their voice, typically. And that gives you an impression of the person. Now, how often when you meet somebody do you think about their kidneys? I mean, unless you're some sort of kidney doctor, I mean, you're not going to care, and probably not even then. You don't care about their kidneys. But if suddenly both their kidneys stopped working, that would be an issue, right? We'd all agree. That's, you're in trouble right at that point. You're a weird group. So that's something you've got to think about. You've got to think about, like, there are parts of the body that we would consider nondescript, maybe even irrelevant, but if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you're in trouble. So here's the thing. Let's imagine you're coming to church this morning. How much coming to church this morning did you think about your feet? Probably very little, unless your foot hurts this morning, and then you thought about it, right? But most people just came to church this morning. Even though you put socks and shoes on them, you didn't think much about them. You were just kind of doing it. So for me, this is a great picture of how important all of the gifts are in the church. That is, all the stuff that people take care of in the kingdom of God, not just this church location, all in the kingdom of God. If we're not all doing that, putting the socks on the feet, and then it doesn't get done. But if you're ever walking around feeling like, I'm not special, that's really what it is. I'm not special in the kingdom of God. That's a lie. Everybody is special. Everybody's important, right? This thing doesn't work if we don't all contribute. And that's why I think Paul uses this brilliant picture of this interdependency of the body of Christ, which is also reflected in Romans chapter 12. We'll put it up here for you. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So again, calling us back to this idea that, listen, this is one body, we're all members of it, and then in Christ, we do this thing together, this thing that we do. And I love, again, just another description there of some of the giftings. In fact, I would say this, when we think about the giftings, the gifts of the Spirit are listed in various passages in Scripture, but they're all a bit different from one another, which I think would lead us to think through this. These gifts are a representation of spiritual gifts. This list is not exhaustive. That is, I don't think if you total all these up, you end up with all the gifts that there are. But you do have to understand, again, the purpose of the gifts. So years ago, I was reading about a study that was done on spiritual gifting, and I forget what group was using it. But they were going around there asking people, do you believe in the spiritual gifts, that you have a spiritual gift? And people said yes, if they were in the church typically. And then they asked somebody, what is your spiritual gift? But they didn't tell them any of the gifts listed in Scripture. It was just kind of to see where you are in this, if you understand kind of the idea behind it. And the person's response was, God has given me the gift of a good smile. A spiritual, really? That's your spiritual gift? A good smile? Like, is that a God thing? Or did you just have a good orthodontist? Let's be honest, like, where does that come from? And is that going to make the spiritual gift? Because if the point of the spiritual gift is I use my gift to serve other people and it brings glory to God, does a smile get us there? I'm not sure it does. I think maybe that person didn't know. Unless maybe you were meant to be a greeter, in which case, hey, a good smile is a part of being a good greeter, so that'd be awesome. You know, make sure you smile and see people. But yeah, I'm not sure about that. So this idea is that my gifts can be used to serve my fellow man, and it's that in serving my fellow man that it brings glory to God. So maybe not the gift of a good smile, but these other things, especially like in Romans, serving, encouraging, exhorting, leading, having cheerful mercy. I did like that last part of that where he says, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And I'm wondering, can somebody have the gift of mercy but not really be cheerful about it? Like, did I just see somebody serving homeless people? Like, you ought to be grateful I'm here. I'm here in my own free time. You better eat this up, sucker. You know, like, that, I guess maybe you could have that. It just doesn't strike me that people with a gift of mercy would be without cheerfulness, but I get the idea. Like, at least be pleasant in the way that you serve other people. So then one of the questions I get is, like, how do I discover what my gifts are? How can I ever find out what my gifts are? Well, I think one of the main ways to figure out what your gifts are is just to serve. You just start plugging into places. And here's what you'll find. Your giftings, this is true of almost everybody, in fact, everybody, but I can't think of an exception right now, so let me just say almost. But I think all of our gifts can be used in almost any area. So whatever your gift might be, if you're, I'm an administrator, like God has just gifted me with administration, or if I'm a teacher, God, those can be used anywhere. Those can be used with children, they can be used with teens, they can be used with adults, they can be used inside the church, they can be used outside the church, they can be used in community groups, they can be used in a community ministry. There's some way that all of this works. So I don't know that it's specific to a particular location. I just think the giftings need to be used, and you need to figure out what they are by plugging in. And when you plug in, you will get affirmation for things that you do that really bless people, and that will help you understand a little bit of what your gifts are. Another thing you can do is you can take spiritual gifts tests. That's something that is very common. People do that. Now, you have to be careful. I mean, it's a piece of paper you fill out. I always give two warnings to people when you take this. One is you have to be careful of your emotions, because sometimes you'll be filling out a spiritual gifts test, and it'll ask a question like this. Do you feel a constant need and desire to share your faith with other people? And you'll read that, and you're thinking, I really don't, but I really should. That should. And so I'm going to go ahead and just check that. You know, and then here's what you're going to find out. At the end of your test, you have all the spiritual gifts. That's what that's going to work out. So be careful when you do that. Now, another one would be this, is that you can lock in to your spiritual gifts in an unhealthy way. So let's say I go through the gifts test, and it comes out that one of my main gifts is I'm a teacher. And so I say, well, that's my role. And so then we go on a mission trip, and we're going around door to door, and people, and the goal of the mission trip is to maybe help bring some, I don't know, we're cleaning up homes or fixing up homes. And so we get down there, and somebody hands me a hammer, and I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, well, we're helping fix this house. I need you to help. They're like, oh, whoa. No, I'm a teacher. That's what I do. Oh, you're doing it. So then you haven't read John 13. So John 13 is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And he says, you want to be a leader in my kingdom, you learn how to serve other people. There is a bit of a distinction between using your gifts and serving other people. And sometimes you just serve. You know, it's not always about, you know, where your gifting is. Sometimes you just have to pick up a hammer and go to work. So let's talk about application. Let me give you some quick application here on this. One is this. Get beyond your guilty feelings. Everybody feels guilty. Like, if I ask you how you're doing in your spiritual life, you'd say, I should be doing more. All right, let's get beyond this. I should be doing more. I'm not doing enough. Or what? I know we're all tired. We all work hard. But my mom used to give me this phrase years ago. Many hands make light work. Right? So there's one work God has called us to. It is global and it is huge and immense. None of us can do it by ourselves. But if we'll all chip in together, this thing gets done. So let's get beyond some of that emotional thing. Next would be this. If you haven't taken a test, I think it would be helpful. We actually offer a spiritual gifts test on our website. So if you go to sandhillschurch.org and you go under the next steps area, there's a serving button. And if you go under next steps and serve, you'll be able to track your way down to a survey, a spiritual gifts survey. You can take it and it'll help you figure out how you're wired. And then finally is this. Just sign up. Just sign up, jump in, and let's just start seeing what God is doing. Let's join the other 400-some people that are serving at Sand Hills Community Church, and let's bring our gifts to the table and just say, God, whatever you want, use me. There's a sign-up area out in the lobby. Go talk to people afterwards if you're not currently serving at Sand Hills. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for what you're doing, and it is a privilege to know you. It is a privilege to be used by you. But Lord, we know we get caught up in our own worlds sometimes. So however you want to use us, Father, just use us. We want in. And I want to see you use me for the blessing of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I certainly want to be blessed by them as well. So would you bring all these gifts to the table and extend your kingdom? In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sand Hills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.